Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, if you would with me, please, as we continue our ongoing verse-by-verse study of the Gospel of Luke. It's truly been a joy for me. Over the years, I've had the privilege of preaching through the Gospel of John and preaching through the Gospel of Matthew. Luke, so far, has been my favorite as far as working through it. I don't know if it's just this time of my life or what it is, this season of my life, but truly been a joy to work through it. Now, if you're visiting with us today or fairly new, we're in the middle of the warning section of the Gospel of Luke that covers Luke chapter 12 all the way through Luke chapter 13, verse 9. If you recall, at the beginning of Luke chapter 12, we have a warning about the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, a warning about hypocrisy. As we moved on in Luke chapter 12, there's a warning about covetousness or greed. And then as we continued our third Sunday in Luke chapter 12, a warning about worry, which affects us and infects us as believers, and the challenge to be able to cast all of our cares on the Lord, for He cares for us. Then last week, we looked at a warning about the second coming, to be ready and watching and working until Jesus returns. Well, that connection carries over into our text today, but it carries over with the thought of being a faithful or unfaithful steward. In other words, we need to be looking and watching and working for the second coming of Christ, and there are people that are faithful stewards that are doing that, but there are also people that are unfaithful stewards. So we're going to be talking about stewardship today, and the word steward is brought out in our text. Let's stand as we read the Word of God together, please. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 41. Good old Peter starts us out here. Peter said, "Lord, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well?" Making reference to the parable that we looked at last week in verses 35 through 40. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward whom his master will put in charge of his servants, to give them their rations at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging will receive but few," speaking of lashes. "From everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they have entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more." You can be seated. Thank you so much. The word steward in the Bible is a great word filled with rich meaning. Steward or stewards is used to talk about a house manager, a person placed in complete control of a household. A steward was a person that was in charge of the affairs of another, handling the property and operations of his master. A steward supervised, managed the fields, the vineyards, the finances, the food, and servants of his master, although most stewards were servants, slaves themselves. Stewards were not owners, but managers, supervisors, taking care, again, of what someone else owned. Now, the most important characteristic and requirement for a good steward was faithfulness, being trustworthy, being reliable, being dependable. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 2, "Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful." So the most important quality of a good steward, the requirement for a good steward, is faithfulness, trustworthiness, being dependable. Now, why? Well, a steward was entrusted with his master's household and possessions. And without faithfulness, he would ruin and mishandle both. Being able to trust a steward was of the utmost importance, knowing they would come through, that they were reliable and dependable. The Bible says in Proverbs 25:19, "Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken foot," a broken tooth, I should say, "and a foot out of joint." A broken tooth, a foot out of joint, both talking about painful circumstances. And it's a painful thing to rely on someone who's not faithful, who's not reliable, who's not dependable. Luke would say later on in the text in his gospel in Luke 16:10-11, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in that which is least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have been unfaithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" And beloved, understand that in our walk with the Lord, faithfulness is the essential quality as we all are stewards of the Lord. We're in charge of His affairs. Providentially, He has ordained it that way. And we need to be reliable, dependable. We are handling His work. We are His hands. We are His feet. We are the ones representing Him, His mouthpieces. And He has determined to use us in His plan to glorify Himself and build His church. And we are His servants, His slaves. Again, He has put us in charge of His affairs, and we should not be owners in that sense, but stewards of His affairs, His work. I mean, everything we have, from salvation to health to possessions to spiritual gifts to our church to children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, all those things are a gift from Him and to be used to advance His kingdom and His glory. So, beloved, the ultimate question this morning is, are we being faithful stewards over what He has given to us, entrusted to us? Now, with that said, if I were to ask someone to characterize your Christian life, what would they say? Are you a faithful steward or an unfaithful steward? Brothers and sisters, God has not called us to be successful, clever, creative, brilliant, or popular. He has called us to be faithful. And at the end of our lives, what should we want to hear from the Lord? What is it? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And what should we want to hear from our family and friends and co-workers? "He or she was a faithful man or woman for the Lord." For me, I would love to hear he was faithful in ministry and faithful in preaching the Word of God. Not, "He was a good guy," or "a great Browns fan," or "a great Cavs fan," or "a great Indians fan." I mean, that would be stupid. Well, maybe not. For anyone who's a Cleveland fan is one whom perseveres and must be patient. For our battle cry is, "Wait till next year." Or now, for a Browns fan, wait 3 to 5 years. We now have analytics to deal with. The point being, as much as I like sports, it really doesn't mean anything in the end, does it? But being a faithful steward does. And listen to what Paul said about some of his co-laborers. What would he say about special co-laborers? He would say in 1 Corinthians 4:17 of Timothy that he was beloved and faithful. In the book of Colossians, Paul mentions two other co-laborers. In Colossians 1:7, Paul mentions Epaphras, that he was a faithful servant of Christ. In Colossians 4:7, Paul said of Tychicus, he is a beloved brother and faithful servant. Thus, servanthood and stewardship are inseparable from faithfulness. Well, in our text today, Jesus tells a parable about a faithful steward and unfaithful stewards. And Jesus does this in response to a question that Peter asked in verse 41, taking us back to our text from last Sunday in verses 35 through 40 on whether a person is ready or not concerning Christ's return. So in essence, we have a continuation of the teaching in verse 40, which says, I remind you from last week, you too be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not expect. Well, in our text today, we have an illustration of a faithful steward whom, when his master comes, speaking of Jesus' second coming, is ready for his coming, is faithfully discharging his stewardship. But then, we will see unfaithful stewards whom believe their master will not return soon, but their master comes on a day when they do not expect him, and they will be punished in this parable. Well, with all that said, I've titled our sermon for today, Faithful and Unfaithful Stewards. And under that theme, we'll look at 3 points as we work through Luke 12, 41 through 48. And surprise, surprise, they all begin with the same letter. The petition of Peter, verse 41. Number 2, the parable that Jesus tells, verses 42 through 45. And number 3, the punishment for unfaithful stewards, verses 46 through 48. With that outline as our map, look at verse 41, please, where we'll see our first point today, the petition of Peter. Peter said, Lord, in response again to what he has already said in verses 35 through 40, are you addressing this parable to us or to everyone else as well? Now, Peter responds to the parable, and he responds in his role as a spokesman for the apostles. He speaks up. He's kind of the mouth for the apostles. Peter was not shy, and as usual, said out loud what the others were probably thinking. And his petition or question was not about when Jesus was coming, or why he compared his coming to a thief in the night. Instead, Peter wanted to know whether Jesus was speaking only to his disciples, including the 12, going back to verse 22 of Luke 12, where it says, and he, Jesus, said to his disciples, or was Jesus speaking to the entire crowd? There's a multitude gathered at this time to hear Jesus. Who are you speaking to, Lord, the crowds or to us? Or both? Well, Jesus did not answer Peter's question directly, but indirectly, with another parable, one involving stewards, slaves, servants. In understanding this parable, the master will represent Christ. The blessed servant or steward represents Christians whom are ready for Christ's return and will be blessed as a result of that. But the other slaves or stewards are unfaithful, and they represent unbelievers. Why? There will be punishment at the end. Those who are not ready for Christ's return will be punished. Therefore, the answer to Peter's question is everyone else, not just Christ's disciples. For all people fall into one of those two categories, believers or unbelievers, actually answered in the verses that will follow. So Peter's petition will be answered. Look at verse 42, please, where we'll start to see Jesus tell another parable, our second point today. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and sensible steward, whom his master will put in charge of his servants to give them their rations at the proper time?" Now Jesus answers Peter's question with a question, a common way to teach in that day. And in that question, Jesus tells another parable, an earthly illustration of a divine principle. And in this parable, Jesus tells about a faithful and sensible steward, a faithful and wise manager. And the master in this parable, Jesus, puts this steward, this manager, because of his faithfulness and wisdom, over in charge of his other servants and slaves. And by the way, this steward is also a slave, according to verse 43. But one that rises up, and it reminded me of Joseph in the Old Testament. One who was a slave, sold into slavery, becomes a steward or a manager over the other slaves. But because he's faithful, God raises him up. And remember, in the Old Testament, he would raise up Joseph second in command in Egypt only to Pharaoh. Now going back to verse 42 with that in mind, the slave's responsibility is to give the other slaves their rations, their food allowance, their portion of food at their normal times to eat. No small responsibility. For good masters, good ones, took care of their slaves whom worked hard and had to be fed a good diet with sufficient amounts of food. They wanted hard work. They needed to give out good food and take care of their slaves. And obviously this master puts this steward slave in charge as he leaves. He goes on a trip, for it says he will return at the end of verse 43. It talks about when he comes. So he's going to leave him in charge while he's gone until he comes back, which in reference to this parable and the last one we studied last week has to do with what? The second coming of Jesus Christ. Well, that steward is in charge, and he is faithful. With that said, look at verse 43, please. Blessed, or blessed, is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Now, we will see that this steward is faithful, and as a result, we'll be blessed. For the key responsibility of this steward is to be faithful until his master returns. Thus, that slave will be blessed. And the word blessed was used twice in our text last week, if you recall, to talk about slaves who are waiting for their master's return. Waiting, watching, ready, prepared. And again, the word blessed means happy. How happy? It has to do with a state of blessedness, a state of joy, being blissful. Makarios is the Greek word used in the Sermon on the Mount, in the Beatitudes, 9 times. And knowing one day his master will return, this steward slave faithfully serves while his master is gone. And when the master returns, he is fulfilling his responsibility, and the reward, the blessing, is great. Look at verse 44 with me, please. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. Now the reward for this faithful steward, who is in charge of feeding his master slaves, and finds him doing so when he returns, the master then puts him in charge of all of his possessions. And wow, this guy is put in charge over everything his master has. The reward is great. It's fantastic. I mean, he is given sweeping powers to manage all his master's possessions. He is, in effect, elevated to the highest possible seat of authority and privilege, except for that of the master himself. much again like Joseph in Egypt, who was sold into slavery by his brothers. And beloved, I remind you, faithful believers who handle their master's affairs while he is gone will be rewarded one day when he returns. For the Bible declares in Matthew 16:27, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his angels, with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his work." And going back to our text, the bonus is blessedness now, more responsibility now for the slave, and reward later. You know what we're talking about here? Win-win. That's it. And I remind you again, faithfulness, serving your master while he is gone, is the key, the bottom line. And practically, don't expect to be given big responsibility until you are faithful over, quote, little responsibilities when it comes in serving your master. My pastor, Tim Nisley's dad, was that way with me. He, in ministry, gave me smaller responsibilities to begin with, to start with, in serving. Didn't give me too much to bite off at one time. Even to help me be prepared to get in front of people, he had me do the announcements every Sunday in the service. That was just to kind of get me used to being in front of people and speaking. Then he came to me and he said, "You know, Ray, I want you to speak on a Wednesday night service." And that was a big deal. We used to have Wednesday night services at that time. And then he came afterwards and said, "You know, Ray, I want you to preach on Sunday nights." And then, a time later, he says, "Ray, I think you're ready to preach on a Sunday morning." And, oh, I was thrilled and nervous, and excited about that opportunity to do that. But he just gave me these things along the way. And as he saw that he could trust me more and more, by God's grace, not trying to exalt self, by God's grace, he would say, "You know, you can do this, you can do that, you can do this, you can do that." And I remember that so well, and how gracious he was to me, and loving and kind to help prepare me for ministry. And you know, some people want big responsibility in Christ Church, but they've not been faithful in small responsibilities, which technically there are no small responsibilities when it comes to serving our master. They're all important. Nonetheless, there are different kinds and levels of responsibility. So the question is, in your serving the master, who's going to return one day, are you faithful? Do you show up? Do you do what you're supposed to do as a joy in serving your master? Are you faithful? Are you a faithful and wise steward, doing what you're doing for your master with excellence, no matter how small it may seem to you? Well, the steward in verse 44 was given more responsibility for his master, put in charge of all his possessions. Why? He was faithful in taking care of the rations to the other slaves. So when he came back, he put him in charge of other things. Interesting. Well, in verse 45, we have a contrast to this faithful steward. We see a slave in verse 45 in this parable who's not faithful. Look at verse 45 with me, please. "But if that slave says in his heart, 'My master will be a long time in coming,' and begins to beat the slaves, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk." Stop there if you would with me, please. Now, in contrast to a faithful slave or steward in verses 42 through 44, which we've just talked about, the unfaithful steward or slave is talked about in verse 45. And this could have been the path that the faithful steward could have gone down, for it says, "But if that slave says in his heart." So now we have an illustration of an unfaithful steward. And in this illustration of this parable, this slave ignores the warning of verse 40, which we looked at last week, to be ready when the Son of Man comes back. For lacking a sense of urgency, he does whatever he wants to do. Pleasing his master is not on his mind. For in his heart, this slave thinks to himself, talks to himself, "My master will be a long time coming. He's not going to come back soon. So I'll do what I want to do. And you know what? I'm going to let everybody know who's boss. Thus he abuses his authority given to him by his master, beating other slaves, men and women, as he's in charge now, making life rough on them. And instead of being a good steward, a good manager, he takes advantage of the situation. And he uses and abuses the other slaves, takes their food and drink, and what does he do? He takes it for himself, because it says he's a glutton, and he gets drunk. He lived under the illusion that he had plenty of time to enjoy his authority and abuse it before his master returned. And understand the words, "my master," here is not talking about Jesus being his Lord and master, but his slave master, who owns him contextually in this parable. And this slave's thinking was, it's time to party while the master is gone. He's a terrible and unfaithful steward. His philosophy, immediate gratification, have it now. And illustrating the danger of such faulty thinking, the unfaithful slave steward miscalculated the time of his master's return. Look at verse 46, please. We'll start to see our third point today, the punishment. It says, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. Severe punishment will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. Now this slave or steward was caught unprepared when his master returned, for his master came back on a day he did not expect him and an hour he did not know. And there is no reward for this guy. In fact, in contrast to that, there's judgment. For in a drastic and severe act of punishment, symbolizing God's judgment in this parable on the wicked, his master cuts him in pieces and assigned him a place with the unbelievers. And where do unbelievers go for severe, drastic, eternal judgment? Well, the answer is hell. Hell. And with the word unbelievers in verse 46, the parable, the metaphor becomes, quote, reality. For the place where the unprepared will spend eternity is hell, where pleasure is replaced with pain. Pain. And what I see as a companion parallel text to ours today, it says in Matthew 25:41, where it talks about an evil slave, his punishment is described, and it says this about him, and will cut him in pieces, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know what that's talking about? Hell. For in Matthew 13:50, in the parable of the dragnet, hell is talked about as a furnace of fire. It says in Matthew 13, verse 50, and shall cast them in the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's talking about hell. And the drastic punishment in this parable cut him into pieces. And being cut in pieces shows the seriousness and terrible punishment unbelievers will receive. The severe penalty is communicating there is a grisly end for the unfaithful, cruel slave, far worse than anything that we can imagine. And please understand that while all unbelievers will spend eternity in hell, our Lord communicates in verses 47 and 48 that degrees of punishment will differ in hell. Say, what are you talking about, Ray? Well, look at verse 47 with me, please. And that slave who knew his master's will and did not get ready or act in accord with his will receive many lashes. Another type of punishment. Now, in addition to the defiant slave in verses 45 and 46, Jesus mentions two other types of unfaithful slaves in verses 47 and 48. And the first one is talked about in verse 47. And he is one who knows his master's will and did not do it. nor did he get ready for his master's coming. And it can be suggested that this is the same slave talked about in verses 45 and 46. However, and I'm not being dogmatic here, it appears that Jesus was talking about another slave. For this slave receives a lesser punishment. For it says he will receive many lashes, a severe beating, yes, but not cut in pieces. Which would you prefer? I'd prefer what? Many lashes rather than being cut in pieces. And it appears this unfaithful slave was not as wickedly defiant as the first one, for he did not abuse his master's resources nor flagrantly defy his master's will. He's distracted. He does not obey his will, and as a result, was not prepared for his return. However, unlike the first slave, who received a severe punishment of being cut in pieces, this unfaithful slave would receive the lesser punishment of many lashes. And then another slave is talked about in verse 48, a third one, who received even a lesser punishment. Look at verse 48 with me, please, in this parable. But the one who did not know it and committed deeds worthy of a flogging received but few, speaking few lashes, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And to whom they entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. Now, this slave did not know his master's will. Yet his ignorance was not bliss. He was still accountable and responsible and culpable. For though he was ignorant, it did not exonerate him from judgment, since it says he committed deeds worthy of flogging. However, he received the least severe punishment of the three unfaithful slaves, for he received a few lashes. So yes, he is punished, but he will receive a few lashes, unlike the second slave who received many, and unlike the first slave who was cut in pieces. It's to say they are all judged. All of them receive judgment, punishment. And in this parable, all go to hell. Yet Jesus' concluding words in verse 48 provide the basis for the differing degrees of punishment in hell. What Jesus called the greater condemnation in Matthew 23:14, Mark 12:40, and Luke 20:47. For Jesus warned in the last part of our text today, in verse 48, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom they've entrusted much, of him they will ask all the more. And Jesus communicates here that the degrees of punishment for unbelievers is directly related to their knowledge of the truth of the gospel. Given much, heard the gospel a lot, much required. Greater accountability. And the more truth people know, and the more they are rebellious, the more judgment and punishment they will receive in the lake of fire. They're all going there. But there'll be greater condemnation for some. All condemnation, but greater for some. And ignorance of the gospel is no excuse. There is still punishment for the third slave. However, to live the way the first slave lived brings severe judgment and punishment, cut in pieces. And the second slave received less than the first, but more than the third one. Differing degrees of punishment. And beloved, I want to remind you this. As God's love is perfect, so is His punishment for unfaithful, unsaved people. God's justice will be perfect even in hell. Even in hell. And in wrap-up and application, believer, I want to remind you, thankfully we're not going to hell because of God's grace and mercy, that we've been given much. We have been given sovereign, undeserved grace. So much is required. And what is required? To be waiting, watching, working, and looking for our Master to return, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to be good stewards of His grace and forgiveness while we are waiting. And what is required? Faithfulness. reliability, dependability, trustworthiness, sacrifice for our Master. And what is assumed in this parable for all true believers is service. That's what servants, stewards do for their Master. So the question is, how faithful are you in service, in ministry, in using your gifts and talents for the Lord through His church? Since we've all been given gifts and talents. The point is, may we be found faithful, reliable, dependable, a good steward. May we live like Jesus could return today, for He might. And one thing's for sure, He will return, because He said so. Last of all, to unbelievers, greater judgment and punishment for those who know their need to be saved from their sins but fail to repent. Oswald Smith said many, many years ago, "Why should anyone in the world hear the gospel twice when most people have never heard it once?" To whom much is given, much is required. Greater condemnation. And greater condemnation is ahead for you in hell, for you that hear the gospel over and over and over and over again. You don't turn and repent. And you don't turn and repent in faith to the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. My admonition in the love of Christ today is repent and turn to Jesus today. One day it will be too late. And you that have heard it over and over and over again will receive the greater condemnation. Think about that. Let's pray, please.